Will the clerk please note that everyone is present? Special order of business proclamation, National Engineer Week. I know we have some engineers here. So if you're an engineer, will you come forward, please?
There you go.
Anyone else? Whereas February 18th, 2018 has been designated as Engineers Week, and whereas the 2018 theme, Engineers Inspiring Wondering, recognizes engineers engaging their creativity and technical know-how to transform dreams into reality. And whereas National Engineers Week is celebrated during the week of George Washington's birthday to honor the contribution President Washington, a military engineer and land surveyor, made to engineering. And whereas Southeast engineers have enhanced the quality of life in Juneau in the Southeast community through public works projects, port and harbor development, maritime transportation, mining, and improvements to airports, museums, recreational facilities, roadways, schools, and telecommunication. And whereas the Juneau branch of the American Society of Civil Engineers and the Alaska Capital Engineers are local sponsors of the National Engineers Week, celebrating the local accomplishments of Project of the Year and Engineer of the Year recognition within the Juneau region. And whereas since 1983, the National Society of Professional Engineers have contributed time, sponsorship, and resources in support of the National Math Counts Competition Series, a competitive mathematics program that promotes mathematical achievements through a series of fun and engineering B-style contests. Whereas the 2018 Juneau Math Counts Competition was held on February 10th, 2018 at Juneau Douglas High School, and I believe Santa Kenny won. Their math teacher was Mary Borthwick. Off script. Whereas the Juneau branch of the American Society of Civil Engineers is engaging in hands-on school outreach programs in science, technology, engineering, and mathematics during National Engineers Week to inspire future generations of engineer and scientists. And whereas the Juneau branch has established civil engineers and professional engineer scholarships for high school seniors pursuing Bachelor of Science degrees in engineering and science fields. Now, therefore, I, Kendall D. Kelch, Mayor of the City and Borough of Juneau, Alaska, on behalf of the City and Borough, do hereby proclaim February 18th through the 24th, 2018, as National Engineers Week in Juneau and call upon the people of Juneau to recognize the essential contribution engineers make within our community. In witness thereof, I have hereto set my hand and caused the seal of the City and Borough to be affixed this 12th day of February 2018. Congratulations.
Yay, engineers.
I would just say thank you. You really wrote up a nice document, except for that part on the math counts you got a little sideways on. But we have a lot going on. We have our banquet on the at the end of the Engineers Week, but math counts was a pretty big deal and is a pretty big deal. The other thing I would just emphasize is there's a Discover Tech exhibit at the Mendenhall Library for anyone who hasn't been there. I know, Mary, you were there the other night, but I don't know if you and Jim got around to look at everything. It's a pretty neat exhibit. Carl was instrumental in getting that here, and it's got a lot of hands-on stuff for kids, but I think even us kids my age have fun with a lot of the stuff there. So thank you very much.
It's Mike.
That brings us to approval of the minutes. Ms. Becker.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Both Mr. Nankervis and I offered some corrections, minor corrections, to our clerk. And she's already noted them, and we already have our minutes back. She's very efficient.
Are you moving to...
Oh, I move that the minutes of January 19th and of January 30th special meetings be approved and ask for unanimous consent.
Seeing and hearing no objection, they are approved. Manager's request for agenda changes.
No changes. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor.
Yes.
I would like to make an agenda change under unfinished business, item A. I'd like to pull that, and I will address that during presiding officer's report.
Okay. Mr. Manager, that's okay with you?
Yes, thank you.
All right. Brings us to public participation on non-agenda items. And Madam Clerk, if you will set the timer for 3 minutes. If you'll come forward as we go through the list and just state your name and where you reside. The first is Don Bremer.
Good evening. My name is Don Brennan. I was born and raised in Yakutat, Alaska, but I've lived out in Kutznebu with people with of Angoon for many years, so I kind of have a feel for their lifestyle. I'm here to speak in opposition to CBJ's petition to annex lands on Admiralty Island. If you think just of what the state mission statement is, to promote strong communities and healthy economies, I don't see that this petition will accomplish that for CBJ or the community of Angoon. The Local Boundary Commission has guidelines for such a petition. There's no objective reason that you could come up with that would support your annexation petition. Admiralty Island isn't an area-wide consideration of CBJ, and it has no statewide benefit for such a petition. There's no information that CBJ could submit to the Local Boundary Commission to successfully support your annexation petition. There's no supplementary information that you could submit that justifies such a petition. Even at this time, your petition raises more questions than solutions to CBJ's economic issues. There's no mutual ground that justifies your petition. At this point in time, I don't believe you'd even get 10% of your community to support such a petition. So if you file the normal process, you're going to be defeated. Even if you were able to convince the legislators to take this up, I doubt that will pass muster there. Already the opposition outweighs any further action towards CBJ's annexation petition. So this is just, in my experience, blatant exploitation of an opportunity that just benefits CBJ. And so I believe the people of Kutznebu are correct in opposing such a petition. And I recognize the lengthy process that you're going to go through, and we'll submit comments, written comments at that point in time. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you. And you don't have to clap for me either, like the engineers.
All right. Thank you. Pauline Jim.
Good evening, I am Pauline. I was recently appointed as the mayor of Angoon, and what a step to take it, be taken in by to know we're being a petition to file annexation against Angoon. I'll just go on with what I have. We had Public Law 101-378 enacted by the Senate and House of Representatives of the United States of America and Congress assembled. It was approved on Admiralty Island National Monument in August 17th, 1990. We also passed a resolution in Angoon opposing any kind of movement to deface our island. And the only reason I would remember that was because I had been on the council for a great number of years, and we passed that resolution. Kutsunu passed it, IRA in Angoon. We did it on 94-16, opposing any movement to deface Admiralty because of the subsistence and livelihood we have within our communities and surrounding communities that come to Angoon. We also supported Junu in a lot of ways. When you needed support from us, we took a stand and we supported you. When they were going to move the capital from Junu, we came forth. And there's a lot of people from Angoon and the outlying communities that have given you the utmost support that you could ever have. And through that support, you have revenue. Right now, we face the fact that there's no real projects coming in to a lot of the small communities. Every community is being tried, not just Angoon. And it's a tough thing to be into, but that's some of the things that we are facing today. And for me personally, I'll use myself. I am. I had cancer. It's been 25 years, and I'm charged with eating fish at least 6 times out of a week. And people's trying to make me fat, but I can't gain weight. So, but thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Frank, Jim?
My name is Frank Jim from Angoon. Lived here all my life, fisherman. And when our parents were alive yet, they made the Angoon National Monument. And when something is made a national monument, it was a big word for our native people. I'm just here to speak in behalf of our old-timers that talked for us to make it a national monument. The only reason why I came up here again is because down south, Navajo people had a national monument too, just like us. And they couldn't hunt in their own land because it was a national monument. So now the president signed some papers for open some land for the Navajos to hunt on their own land that they had way back. Our people's been living here how many years? and nobody bothered us for a long time until they start making rules on top of our native people. The land was our livelihood. There's not much we can do now with our elderly. It's all gone. They told us to watch for these stuff that will happen to you. Keep an eye out. Watch it. There's a lot of villages stepping in, backing up Angoon. Angoon stands behind you guys a lot. Villages come to Juneau to buy food, grub. Part of your revenue money is coming from the villages. Lots of money. And they gave their part of their revenue away when they moved the ferry down to Ketchikan. They had a lot of good reasons of getting money out of that. That's our livelihood right there, coming into Juneau. You guys, if the ferry is taken away from our people, you guys are going to lose a lot of money from the villages. We spend a lot, lots and lots of money in Juneau here. So now we're thinking of our elderly people or what's going on. There's things they told us, and it's happening. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Bill.
Thank you.
That is all we have signed up for non-agenda items. Mr. Was it Zach Worrell?
No, Matthew Carlson.
And it's on a non-agenda item?
Well, it is non-agenda, and also would be drafted as an amendment to the past resolution for the annex.
Okay. Please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, Assembly Persons. My name is Matthew Carlson, and I do reside here in Juneau at 1050 Salmon Creek Lane, Unit C202. And I was raised in Angoon all of my formative years. And tonight I would just like to, if anything, for the amendment for past resolution, urge you to support Edwardson's amendment to that. It is illegal for a borough to cross over water boundaries. And I know the lawyer that was here last time didn't even touch basis on that. It's something that was done in the past, and we can clearly see that you're ready to do it again in the future. So the 5-4 vote, I'm really appreciative of the four that voted against the annexation. And like some of our community members from Angoon mentioned, the money that would be lost, a lot of people from the villages coming for shopping, holidays, celebration, gold medal. Those are upwards of $8 million into the coffers of the city. What happened in Anchorage when the city of Anchorage was not so friendly with the Alaska Federation of Native Conference, they moved that to Fairbanks. That 1 year alone, the small businesses hurt so much that they went to Anchorage Assembly and urged them to encourage the Native people to bring AFN back to Anchorage, because they recognize how much they attributed to the coffers of city government. So those are some really important issues. And one of my favorite parts of the evening is the Pledge of Allegiance for the republic in which it stands. We don't live in a democracy. Our founding fathers created this country so that every house has a voice, and that we do not move forward on agenda business unless every house has that voice to speak, and that their issue at hand is heard. One of the things that makes us up in arms on the issue is that there is no incentives for us to be encouraged to jump aboard your boat. That's one of the reasons we're not setting sail with you. There's no tax incentives. There's no incentive to allow our hunters to hunt for deer on these lands without being persecuted. And that was another thing. Some of our people lost that in this area, that they would be not persecuted or have to have the right to or the need for a license or deer tags. And for Mr. Mayor, I'd like to address that. He did mention that the lands you're interested in is Akwan and Takukwan, and that's something that we do know. We have reached out to those clan members and have their blessing that that should not be annexed for City and Borough of Juneau. And I see my 3 minutes up. Thank you for listening to me.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, we have one person that is signed up for Morage, and that will be during the agenda when we deal with that. And there is another part on the agenda later on for more public participation. But right now, with that, public participation is closed. Brings us to the consent agenda. Is there anyone from the public that requests a consent agenda changes other than ordinances for introduction? Is there any from the assembly? Mr. Nan Curvis, Assembly Action.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would move adoption of the consent agenda, and I would ask for unanimous consent.
Seeing and hearing no objection, the consent agenda is approved. Which brings us to public hearings. Ordinance 2017-06, Madam Clerk.
This is an ordinance appropriating to the manager the sum of $74,918 as funding for the 2015 State Homeland Security Program, SHSP, grant funding provided by the State of Alaska Department of Military and Veterans Affairs.
Mr. Manager.
These funds are being provided to reimburse the CBJ for additional expenses incurred in direct support of the goals and activities of the State Homeland Security Program. The grant performance period is from September 1, 2015 to March 31, 2018. There is no match requirement for this grant. I recommend you adopt this ordinance.
Is there anyone from the public that would like to speak to this? Seeing none, Mr. Edwardson.
I move that the Assembly adopt Ordinance 2017-06-AB, and I recommend unanimous consent.
Seeing and hearing no objection, Ordinance 2017-06-AB is approved. Ordinance 2018-02, Madam Clerk.
An ordinance authorizing the manager to convey property located on Egan Drive between West 10th Street and Main Street to the Alaska Department of Transportation and Public Facilities.
Mr. Manager.
The Alaska Department of Transportation and Public Facilities applied for a direct negotiated sale of 507 square feet across Egan Drive from Centennial Hall in order to facilitate the state's reconstruction of Egan Drive between 10th Street and Main Street. Along with the negotiated sale, DOT requested the CBJ grant the state 8 permanent easements and 10 temporary easements along Egan Drive for the same purpose. The Assembly passed a motion authorizing the manager to negotiate the sale at its July 31, 2017 meeting. The Harbor Board heard the issue at its August 7, 2017 meeting and adopted the Lands Division's recommendation for approval. The City Safe project proposal was brought to the Planning Commission and heard in its entirety at its August 8, 2017 meeting. Commission voted to recommend to the Assembly approval of the project with two conditions to the disposals of land, both the negotiated sale and the easements. After the Commission considered the project and while negotiating the direct sale, it was determined that in lieu of the 8 permanent easements, it was in the best interests of both parties for the CBJ to instead sell the property that had been contemplated for the permanent easements. This ordinance would authorize the sale of all property previously identified for disposal by permanent easement, as well as the fraction of Lot 3, U.S. Survey 3566, originally sought by DOT for the appraised fair market value. I recommend you adopt this ordinance.
Is there anyone from the public that wishes to testify? Seeing none, I will bring it back to the Assembly. Mr. Gregory.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move that we adopt Ordinance 2018-02 and ask for unanimous consent.
Mr. Jones.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. A little slow on the last one. I won't try to be faster on this one. So in the actual whereas resolution, talks about, I think it was $35,000, $39,000. So on this one and the next one's a resolution, I guess, is an ordinance. Where does that money go? Does that go to the lands fund? Does that end up in the general fund? Where does that money go? Since the resolution and the ordinance don't say. And I had that question on the previous one, but I didn't get it asked quick enough.
Mr. Mayor, so the normal course of action for lands managed by the CBJ lands manager that would be placed in the lands fund. I'm looking at Mr. Yucatel because I believe that some of these lands are also under other lands are under the jurisdiction of the Docks and Harbors Board, and those lands would go to their fund balance. I'm not sure which one, and we might have to bring them up to exactly find out where.
Okay.
Does that answer your question?
It does.
Okay. Any other questions? Unanimous consent was asked for Ordinance 2018-02. Is there objection? Seeing and hearing none, Ordinance 2018-02 has been approved. Resolution 2810A. Madam Clerk.
This is a resolution authorizing the manager to convey easements to the Alaska Department of Transportation and Public Facilities along Egan Drive from 10th Street to Main Street.
Mr. Manager.
The Alaska Department of Transportation and Public Facilities requested 10 temporary construction easements across CBJ property to facilitate the reconstruction of Egan Drive between 10th Street and Main Street. Project will include widening of sidewalks to ADA standards, adding bike lanes where appropriate, and updating intersections and pedestrian facilities. These easements are part of a larger disposal identified in Ordinance 2018-02. Lands Committee reviewed this request and approved a motion of support in favor of granting the easements at its August 7, 2017 meeting. Planning Commission provided a recommendation to the Assembly for granting these easements at its August 8, 2017 meeting. The fair market value of the easements was determined by appraisal to be $13,785. I recommend you adopt this resolution.
Is there anyone in the public that wishes to comment? Seeing none, I'll bring it back to the Assembly. Ms. Welton.
I move that we adopt Resolution 2810 and ask for unanimous consent.
Mr. Gill.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. You read this as 2810A, and I just want to make sure, is there a second version of the resolution? I have 2810 in my packet.
No, it's 2810, and it starts with a resolution. I apologize.
No objection, Mr. Mayor. Thank you.
Ms. Weldon caught it, too. Is there objection to resolution 2810? Seeing and hearing none, resolution 2810 is approved. Ordinance 2018-05, Madam Clerk.
An ordinance authorizing the manager to execute approach road approval to construct permit agreement 27037 with Alaska Department of Transportation and Public Facilities.
Mr. Manager.
In order to complete construction of a road leading from the Peterson Hill subdivision to Glacier Highway, as required by Title 49, the CBJ must obtain approval from the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities. State regulations require DOT to include an indemnity provision from the permittee to the state in all approach road permits. Normally, the CBJ is prohibited by Charter Section 9.13A, which is substantially similar to the Alaska Constitution, from contractually agreeing to indemnify another party. The charter carves out a limited exception, however, allowing the assembly by ordinance to require the payment of funds from appropriation of a later year for any federal or state grant, contract, lease program, etc., without which the municipality would not be able to participate. This ordinance would allow the city manager to execute the approach road permit, which includes an indemnity provision in accordance with Charter Section 9.13C, as required by 17 AAC 10.020C. Version B of the ordinance attaches the state's January 25, 2018 letter on the indemnification as an exhibit to the ordinance. Committee of the Whole considered this ordinance at its January 29, 2018 meeting and approved forwarding it to the full assembly for public hearing. I recommend you adopt this ordinance.
Is there anyone from the public that wishes to testify? Seeing none, I'll bring it back to the assembly. Ms. Gladyszewski.
I move adoption of ordinance 2018-05 and ask for unanimous consent.
Seeing and hearing no objection, the motion is carried. Mr. Gregory, do you have?
Just a question. Is that 2018-05B?
Yes, it is.
Is that what?
Mr. Mayor, may I?
Yes.
The only change between A and B was to attach a copy of the DOT letter confirming what the regulation stood for.
Okay, then I move ordinance 2018-05B and ask for unanimous consent.
Are there any questions? Seeing and hearing no objection, 2018-05B is approved. Brings us to unfinished business, of which we have none because it has been moved to presiding officer reports. New business, regulation vessel anchoring requirement. Docks and Harbors, Mr. Manager.
The Docks and Harbors Board held a public hearing at its January 25, 2018 regular board meeting to establish new regulations pertaining to anchoring on CBJ-owned tidelands. 05 CBJ AC 40.065, anchoring out requirements, would assert authority to regulate vessels anchored on submerged lands owned by the City and Borough of Juneau. The drafted regulations would allow vessels to anchor for a 24-hour period without restriction. Anchoring for longer periods would require either a short-term or long-term permit issued by Docks and Harbors. The proposed regulations were vetted through the Docks and Harbors Operations Planning Committee and publicly advertised for a minimum of 21 days prior to the board hearing and action. The board received no written comments on the new regulation. One member of the public provided testimony at the public hearing. In reviewing proposed regulations, CBJ 0160260 provides that the Assembly may, 1, take affirmative action to approve the regulation. 2, take affirmative action to disprove the regulation. 3, allow the regulation to take effect and be deemed approved by not actively considering the regulation. 4, direct that an ordinance or resolution in lieu of the regulation be prepared for its consideration.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. Zach Morrell.
So, yeah, this is kind of
Dennis, if you could just give your name and where you live.
Oh, Zach Morrell. I live in Juneau, 155 Cordova Street. Do I got to say my address? So this is, I guess, maybe part of the annexation thing, too, but I'm just curious. It says in here, under applicability of this, this applies to lands, submerged tide lands, owned, leased, or managed by the city and borough of Juneau. So I think the intent of this thing is to keep people from having, you know, derelict boats in the channel and all this stuff. But what I'm wondering about is if you annex, like right now the line, for instance, Hawk Inlet, where I have a float cabin, other people have float cabins there too. Are you going to technically, like, is the city going to assert, like, management duties of the submerged tidelands in there? I guess what I'm asking is, you know, are you going to tell me my float house can't be anchored for more than 24 hours without a permit in there, because you're going to be now the managers of you know, these submerged tidelands? Or
do you like an answer to that?
Yeah, I would.
All right, Mr. Manager.
Mr. Mayor, so I believe the regulations would apply to tidelands that the city currently owns that are managed by Docks and Harbors. And Mr. Yucatel is certainly more aware on the geographic range of those tidelands, but I don't believe, and I'll look to Mr. Yucatel for a head nod, I don't believe we own any tidelands in the Hawk Inlet area. And he's, for those listening on the radio, he's confirming that the CBJ does not own tidelands in that area. Just a little bit of a comment on annexation. If the assembly or if the Boundary Commission completes a review of the application on annexation and it makes its way through the legislature, that in and of itself does not convey property to the city.
Sure.
It would make lands within the borough boundary, but it actually does not change ownership of any lands.
And it says managed by the city. I guess that's where I was concerned. You're saying that's not a concern.
Mr. Mayor, so there would be no management. Those would be presumably state tied lands. And they would not be managed by city. We only pass regulations for lands that we own and manage.
We're good?
We're good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for your question. Dennis Watson.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor and Assembly members. Dennis Watson, 9333 Northland Street, here in Juneau. I'm speaking regarding page 91, item 1, short-term permit. The director may issue a short-term permit for up to for anchoring out for 14 days. There shall be no fee, no proof of insurance required, and no proof of approved marine sanitation for short term. As I look at this, and I've been attending harbor meetings since 2005, I see some loopholes, and I certainly have a lot of respect for the attorney that works with Harbors on this. I know he spent a fair amount of time with Harbors over the years. But as an example, I have a boat. I moor it in Bach Bay. It's a permanent slip. When I leave that slip, or pardon me, when I turn in my annual application, I have to submit insurance, proof of insurance. When I leave that slip for more than a few days, I am required to advise the harbor that I'm leaving, and the harbor has the authority to sublet my slip and take the funds. I pay year-round moorage, and the harbor collects double, although that's not my point. The person that occupies that slip, to my very best knowledge, is not required to provide insurance. Here we're doing it again. For 14 days, somebody can pull into borough tie lens, not have to prove that they have insurance, and of course there's confidence here that the director may attach other reasonable terms, but the individual that comes in and registers for short-term wage does not meet with the port director. He meets with somebody at the office, and they obviously fill out the paperwork. So for 14 days, you've got somebody who can put any kind of vessel they want in there, and if it sinks, the borough's got the responsibility of dealing with it. That's number one. Number two, if they decide not to move, and I don't know how long it's going to take the borough to evict somebody. Right now they're having trouble. They've got a tugboat out there for the last couple of years, and it's still sitting there. So I find a real flaw in this. And I really think it should be studied a tad bit more. I don't think anybody should be forgiven the requirement to provide insurance. I would certainly be disappointed if my slip were destroyed because somebody didn't have insurance, and I might not have a place to keep my boat. And that's sort of kind of selfish, but, you know, I do enjoy my boating. So thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Watson. Can you hold on just a second? Mr. Watson?
Hold on just a second.
Does anybody have any questions?
Excuse me.
Sorry, okay, sir. We're fine. Thank you very much.
Actually, I did.
Mr. Edwardson?
Mr. Watson, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I'm a little bit tardy in asking you a question.
I know you.
Are you proposing that the regulation be amended to add insurance?
Yes, sir. I'm the one person that spoke. When you read this portion there, it says that one person spoke at the meeting. That was me. There was no follow-up questions by the Harbor Board. They were polite and listened to me and moved on. I think it needs to be revised to protect the borough and the city and be fair. I'd certainly like to see people who occupy my slip have to provide insurance as well. It's just off the topic.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All right. Ms. Kladyszewski.
Mr. Mayor, can I ask Mr. Uchitel a question? Uh-huh. And I just wanted to ask it on the record, Mr. Uchitel, because I emailed you separately to, could you explain the boundaries that this applies to? Because when you read it, you think it's all the land within the CBJ, and it's not. So can you please explain what lands this refers to?
Yeah, for the most part, docks and harbors, as far as submerged lands, would be suitable for anchorage. It'd be the area maybe 200 yards seaward of the Aurora and Harris Harbor Breakwater, probably another 300 yards off the Stater Harbor Breakwater. We do have the tidelands, or the called the submerged lands, along Douglas, from Douglas Bridge to Douglas Harbor. But I think we see in the summer, you'll see some high-end yachts that'll anchor there. I don't think they are on our tidelands. They're kind of in the channel. So it's really just those three locations that it would really assert our authority, seaward of the three breakwaters in the harbors.
And just for people's benefit, if they go to the city website and look at the parcel viewer, there is a tool that you can click and click on the managed lands by department and then click on docks and harbors, and you'll see the lands that the submerged lands that this applies to. Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions for Mr. Uchitel while we have him here? Thank you.
Ms. Will.
So Mr. Watson brought up a good point, so I was going to ask you, why are we not asking for insurance for a short-term permit?
So, Ms. Walton, the answer to that is we don't require it for transient boaters. So boaters that come in, and actually insurance isn't required for anybody in our harbor system. We have a requirement that if you don't have insurance, you'll be levied basically a fine of 25 cents a linear foot per month. But there's no requirement to have that we do not require insurance. Some of you that are involved that keep track of state laws or state statutes that are being considered right now, SB 92 is banning derelict vessels, and that insurance was something that we're looking the body, the assembly approved a resolution of support for greater accountability throughout the state, and the Alaska Association of Harbor Masters also is a strong proponent of SB 92. What I'm getting to is that we think insurance is very important. We also know it's very controversial. SB 92, as drafted last March, the version now has removed the section on insurance because it wasn't going anywhere. So I intend... I shouldn't show my cards today, but I intend to go down that route where we're going to start requiring insurance, or I intend to work towards requiring all vessels in our harbors to be insured for salvage insurance and pollution response, that type of insurance. So we've got a lot going on in docks and harbors. It's something I know that'll be controversial, but it needs to be done. Thank you.
We have four choices. Does someone want to use one of them? Mr. Jones.
I move orders of the day.
Mr. Nankervis.
I would object.
Do you want to speak to your objection?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would speak to my objection. I would have preferred option number two, which is to disprove the regulation. I as well have some concerns over the insurance. I have some concerns with the amount of time that they are allowed to be anchored. It says, and on the first page of the ordinance, it says 24 hours without a permit, and I think that there's things you should have to do, like checking in with the harbor master's office prior to anchoring. I think several days is more appropriate to that. I do have concerns about the insurance. I have questions about moving the vessel 2 miles, and I have a question about that because I'm trying to relate it to our parking ordinances downtown. You move the car 20 feet, you've moved it. Around the block and come back again, you've moved it. And I'm not, I just don't know what the 2 miles is trying to accomplish. And then as I move down to the long-term permit, it talks about a 25 cent per foot daily fee. And as somebody who uses the docks a lot, in my opinion, you're paying that fee because you're tied to the dock and utilizing the services and the dock that is provided. And it seems to me that if you're going to have a $100 non-refundable application fee, I don't see the need for charging people per foot. So I would like to see this go back and get worked on a little more, and that would be my objection to orders of the day.
Well, we are not doing orders of the day, so we have three left. Mr. Jones.
Thank you. Then I would ask the Assembly to take affirmative action to approve the regulations as written.
Is there a discussion? Mr. Nankervis.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. No discussion. I would maintain my objection.
Further discussion, Mr. Edwards.
I'll just speak a little bit about the state requirements, and the state requirements also has 14 days. There's a use of state-owned land, including submerged land, called generally allowed use. And you're allowed to use state-owned land in certain areas for 14 days. Otherwise, it's considered more longer term, and then you're required to have a permit. The CBJ's concerns are a little bit different because people, you know, kind of congregate towards CBJ. But the reason that that 14 days is there is so transient boats can go in there. 2 miles is put there to try to come up with some sort of a standard to where people aren't trying to game the system and move just short distances and say that they're not staying permanently in an area. So I largely I support this regulation package, and when we vote, I'll vote to take affirmative action to approve.
Any further discussion? Mr. Keel.
Can I, Mr. Mayor, thank you. A question for the city attorney, or maybe the manager. There was a comparison drawn to the downtown parking district, and I thought you got 2 hours in the parking district in a day, period, regardless of whether you moved your car. Am I remembering the rules wrong? How does the law read?
Mr. Mayor, I believe Mr. Keel's memory is correct. I don't have the code in front of me, and I don't know our exact practices, but I believe the intent is 2 hours per day, period.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I appreciate that. I'm at a little bit of a disadvantage. I went and looked for the minutes of the Docks and Harbors Board meeting. They're not on the website yet. It's pretty short turnaround. That's not a critique, but I have not had the benefit of reading the deliberations that the board had. There are some good questions here about these regs. I am trying to think through the long-term permit in these regs being the first step of an explicit insurance requirement. Certainly, we've had a lot of problems with derelict vessels on our tidelands, and we have intermittently had vessels anchored out right where people are trying to get in and out of the harbors, and have had some bad incidents lately. So I'm not entirely sure which way to go on these regulations. I'm inclined to trust the Docks and Harbors Board, but I guess I could be persuaded.
Ms. Platyshevsky.
I just say I was concerned about this when I didn't understand the map, and it is a fairly small area that this applies to. The insurance, if we don't require insurance for boats to be moored inside the harbor, and that's correct, but we're now requiring them to have insurance if they're outside the harbor, seems odd. But because the Docks and Harbors Board did this and it's a small area, I would be prepared to support it, not all that happily, but I think they've done the job we've asked them to do.
All right. Mr. Gregory.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm inclined to support the ordinance, but I do have a couple of questions. The reason why I want to support the ordinance is, you know, thinking about the tug, and there's a article on the radio today about, you know, what it costs to remove all of the contaminants that were found aboard the vessel once it was boarded by the Coast Guard. It was a very large number of contaminants that would affect the area where the boat was parked. The only question I do have, and you might be able to answer this for me, Mr. Yucatel, is the requirements for the insurance, and is what's required readily available in common policies that are offered in our community by Safeco and Allstate and other insurance providers? Have we looked into that?
We have, Mr. Gregory, and what we've kind of played around with for insurance, Washington, of course, has got a very detailed insurance policy that we've done some research, and that's kind of what we would like to bring back through the board at the appropriate time. But yeah, there's salvage insurance and oil spill insurance that's available, and so it's not even all that expensive.
Mr. Mayor, may I follow up? I guess my question is, have we talked to any of our local insurance providers here that offer boat policies? It's my recollection, I used to work in the industry, that not all policies were the same, and not all policies were readily available in Alaska, while they might be in Washington.
You know, we've had Mr. Shattuck, Alan Shattuck, come to a couple board meetings, and we've talked about what we wanted to do and showed him the regulations that are in Washington, and it is available.
Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Nankervis.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just want to say to the port director, since he's still sitting here, I'm not opposed to what you're trying to do, or I think it's necessary. I'm just opposed to some of the structure involved in what's presented to us. Thank you.
Mr. Ugandell.
So, Mr. Mayor, if I may, you know, the structure that we put into that regulation, we tried to mimic DNR, and so they're not really odd. You know, the 2 mile relocation rule, that's right from DNR. So, as much as we could, we tried to follow the DNR statute, because DNR's got, you know, much more submerged or tidelands and submerged lands and that they have to manage. So we wanted something that CBJ could regulate anchorage in the areas that we have responsibility for. Thank you.
Any further discussion? Mr. Edwards.
Because I support this, I'd just like to point out the gentleman who is worried about annexation in relation to this. These regulations wouldn't establish any new submerged land for the city and borough of Juneau. The city and borough of Juneau, just like a lot of cities in the southeast, got fee simple title to submerged lands at statehood because of land that they owned before Alaska was a state. After statehood, you know, as Juneau grew and you see the map change, they didn't get submerged lands after that, and that's why there's only a little bit. So if these regulations go into effect, that doesn't mean that the city and borough of Juneau is going to have any authority over the submerged lands. The state already does, and that's not going to change.
Okay, further comments or questions? Is the objection maintained?
Yes, Mr. Mayor.
All right. The motion is take affirmative action to approve the regulation, in this case, CBJ 0160.260. Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Mr. Keel?
Yes.
Mr. Nankervis?
No.
Ms. Weldon?
Yes.
Ms. Becker?
Yes.
Mr. Edwardson?
Yes.
Ms. Gladyszewski?
Yes.
Mr. Gregory?
Yes.
Mayor Kelch?
Yes.
Motion carries 8-1.
Okay, that brings us to assembly reports. Start with mine and go down the line. What? Staff reports, sorry.
Mr. Mayor, I have one short staff report.
All right.
Following up on the Committee of the Whole meeting where we discussed the RCA process, I wanted to let you know, two things, I guess I want to say into the record. The RCA issued their order number 2. I think the public is becoming aware of that. And the Assembly asked that I commence negotiations with AAL&P. We did meet with them and were able to communicate the policy goals that the Assembly identified. I would characterize the conversation as collegial and productive. I'm hopeful. I think we're
quite possibly going to be able to make some progress on that front, and I'm hoping to see a draft back from them as early as tomorrow in that kind of timeline. I just wanted to let you know that was happening.
All right. Madam Attorney.
I'm going to add on to Mr. Watt's staff report with my own staff report. The timing of the RCA's second order is proving difficult because of the scheduling of the public hearing and when your appropriate ordinance for council to move forward with the intervention will be adopted. And I just want to confirm with the assembly that you want to follow the two paths, which I think would require filing the intervention now and placeholding, if you will. I don't know what message that gives to AALMP and Hydro One and Avista while we're working out this negotiation. So it would be good to hear from you what your direction is.
Now.
Yes.
Great. Ms. Gladyszewski.
Could you explain the timeline that has changed since the last time we talked about this? What has made it that we have to do it now?
Certainly. So with the petition to intervene, we'd also file a petition for an investigatory hearing, which is the more formal hearing that the RCA uses sometimes when there's a contested procedure or application before it. The RCA has set February 26th for the date for additional public comment. I have been informed that the timing would be difficult if the intervention petition were filed close to that date or after that date. I don't practice in this area, so I can't tell you whether or not that is a reasonable assumption or not, but it's just something that I wanted to bring to your attention. So the problem is if you approve the appropriating ordinance on the 26th, the 27th is the hearing. That leaves a very small window to move forward unless we file it now.
Assembly discussion.
Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Jones.
I thought we had 30 days from the second order, or did they set a different time frame?
No, they didn't set a different time frame. I don't think they mentioned intervention in the second order at all. The regulations provide for 30 days from the hearing, but in this case they haven't set a hearing. They've set another public comment period. And they've shortened they've narrowed the scope of the process in response to the public comments and have directed that they aren't going to be considering SNEDSHAM or the open access issue.
Ms. Kraszewski?
What did they change? They said you have to have public comment by February 26th. That's what they did?
They set a new hearing. They set a new hearing here in Juneau to receive additional public comment. That's the first thing they did.
Right.
And the second thing they did was in response to the public comment already received, within that second order, they said, we are not going to consider SNEDSHAM or the open access issues within the context of this proceeding.
I understand what they've said they're not going to do. I still don't understand how they have changed a date that is now a sooner date than we thought.
The advice that I've gotten from outside counsel was that if you wait until after that public comment, that public hearing, the likelihood that your petition will be entertained is lessened.
I see.
Mr. Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Part of our discussion at the last time we took this up was the desire to move down both paths simultaneously. And there was discussion about proceeding with the intervention as leaving us in the strongest position in negotiations. The goal, of course, of negotiations is that we'll reach an amicable, agreeable conclusion, and we can pull a plug on intervening when we all say that's great.
But if you don't get there, then you need the intervention. So it seems to me that it's worth doing exactly that. And if the advice of the experts you're working with, talking to, is that we step up our schedule a little, that makes sense to me. Certainly that we not stop our negotiations, our talking, but that we maintain that position just in case negotiations don't get us where we all hope they will.
Mr. Edwardson.
Also part of the discussion, if I recall correctly, is funding for helping to put this together. So is there funding? I mean, we're talking about, I still want the intervention to go forward. I think the public has spoke on that. But are we properly funded to go forward and then properly funded to accelerate that?
Madam Attorney?
We are not properly funded for the entire process. We are, given the RCA's second notice and the narrowing of the issues, the petition is going to have to be drafted a little bit more broadly than it was originally intended. So most of the cost of moving forward will probably come after the RCA accepts you as an intervener, if the RCA accepts you as an intervener. I have not gotten I have not gotten the amount from outside counsel as to what it would cost to simply provide either me guidance so that I can file the placeholder, if you will, in the interim time period. That's probably what will happen. Or for him to step in and do a limited representation until the full appropriating ordinance is adopted. So I think there are a couple of paths to move forward. This all happened this afternoon, so I'm not sure which one makes the most sense. But yes, it could move forward if that's what you direct.
Ms. Vladishevsky.
So if SNEDISHAM and open access are off the table for discussion, certainly the SNEDISHAM issue was one of the main concerns that almost everybody had. Refreshed my memory, Mr. Mayor, what remains on that list?
Mr. Manager.
I was looking for my notes here. I've got the order, but what I recall, SNEDISHAM, open access, tariffs, integrated resource planning, requesting a hearing in Juneau, so that's happening.
55.
And the 55 conditions that were placed on the transfer certificate in Washington.
So basically what's left is integrated resource planning and the 55 conditions. Because they're doing a hearing and the other two are off the table.
And
unless you convince them to change their mind.
The RCA, correct. Right.
There were some other comments from the Assembly looking for information on their land holdings and on the relevance of a performance bond, the two that I recall.
Mr. Jones.
On the discussion around the lands, there's also the discussion of the unitization agreement and how that might be done. I noticed that didn't get on the official list, but I had talked about that. I'm glad you brought up the lands piece because I think that's part of it. I don't know how close that is to what the RCA is doing, but it is hopefully part of your discussions or negotiations. And I would be in support of making sure that we're an intervener or at least have our application to intervene into the RCA so they can rule on that.
Further discussion? Ms. Weldon.
I think we should also put in for an intervener at this time too. Hopefully negotiations will go well, but even if they're great, we probably still want to see at the table if we can have one, and the dream would be the intervener doesn't say a word, but they're there if they need to be.
Ms. Weldon, was that a motion?
Sure, absolutely. I'm sure Ms. Sika will help me word my motion. So I move that we go ahead and petition for an intervener. Is that the right phrase there?
Petition for intervention.
Okay, if you would read the motion back.
Motion by Weldon to support a petition for intervention into the RCA process.
Okay. Is there a discussion on the motion? Is there objection to the motion? Seeing and hearing none, the motion is carried. Thank you, staff. Let's take a break. 20 after.
I thought we already had done that.
I'm Tolamina.
Come for the Namto.
I'm Tolamina.
Come for the Namto.
You are tuned to KTOO Juno 104.3. The assembly is currently taking a break, and they'll be back at 8:20. Let's take a look at the weather. Tonight, rain, low around 35. Tomorrow, rain, and in the afternoon, turning into rain and snow showers, a high near 39. And we'll listen to some Ladysmith Black Mambazo until the assembly comes back.
When no tender, when no tender bandu,
when no tender bandu, liyakela na mungi tande. When no pabanji zipo,
tsela na mungi pe. Wena tanda bantu, gia tsela na mungi tande. Wena pa bandi zipo, gia tsela na mungi pe.
Kiteng.
Mbengo koni mashanga na lo tando, namisen lo tando.
Ati.
Mbengo koni mashanga na lo tando, namisen lo tando.
Singba
tanda bunga wan. Semba
chanda bungawan, umba chanda bungawan,
Yes, I can't make a man. Bolba, Hakalami,
we
Kabanelami, Washonapina. Nang
Wakalubu, mai, mai.
Maye, maye.
Wakalubu, mai, mai.
Zibizi nsizo.
Mai, mai.
Zibizi ndombi.
Mai, mai.
Zibizi ngane.
Mai, mai.
Apa amate.
Mai.
Met up with the mayor of Cordova, Clay Hoplin, and did a tour with him. Last week, I also met with the U.S. Coast Guard Admiral and with the manager and discussed fast response cutters. Met with Best Starts representatives, did a welcome for the Alaska Fire Chiefs Association. Tomorrow I'll do a welcome for the Southeast Conference, and Tuesday and Wednesday the Southeast Conference is in Juneau, and February 16th from 11 till 12 there will be an observation of Elizabeth Brodovich in the Egan Library. That is the mayor's report. Let's do committee reports, liaison reports, assemblies, comments, and questions. Mr. Edwardson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. First, I'll go through the liaison reports. A couple of weeks ago, I guess it was, I attended the Docks and Harbors monthly meeting. I don't really have much to report because I think we talked about pretty much everything in our committee of the whole meeting with Docks and Harbors after that. The one thing that we didn't talk about a whole lot was the former NOAA land in Ock Bay and the plans for that. I think the Docks and Harbors Committee, I think the Docks and Harbors Department has some very good plans for that, and I hope we hear a little bit more about that soon as far as better use for the land and better use for the waterside. Local Emergency Planning Committee had a meeting at Juneau Police Department early last month. I didn't make the meeting. I haven't seen the minutes yet. So that's it for my liaison reports, and I do have a motion.
Mr. Edwardson.
See, I move to amend the resolution previously adopted, Resolution 2817A, a resolution authorizing the filing of annexation petition with the Local Boundary Commission. My amendment would be to remove areas B, C, and D from the annexing petition. And I would like to speak to my motion.
Certainly. Let me just, because I had to look up that particular parliamentary motion. It is debatable, and it requires two-thirds of the members to vote in the affirmative to pass. And once it, if it is passed, the motion stands all by itself. Then. So it would be back to A only. If it fails, then the original motion stands. Mr. Edwardson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The reason that I'm bringing up this motion is I believe that unintentionally we may have been in error voting for it, and I'll tell you why. When we're looking at laws, when we're looking at the Constitution, when we're looking at policies and procedures, we have to read all of them in whole. What does it really mean? Title 10 of the Constitution, Article 29, for municipalities, Alaska Administrative Code Chapter 110, the policies and procedures for the Local Boundary Commission and for the Department of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development. When we're reading all of these in regard to annexation, borough annexation, they all have to mean the same thing all the way through. Now, when you read through all of these, it's pretty clear that if we're going to be annexing any area, there has to be something in it for that area also. Can we read segments of that law to say that, yes, we can annex them, not really give them anything but taxation? Yes, but it's not really in the spirit of reading all of this body of information together in a dovetailed way. So, for example, one of the things that was brought up was the model boroughs. The model boroughs came about. Actually, they started working on them in 1989, and they did it. The catalyst for that was four different annexations that were going on. One of those annexations was the CBJ annexation of the Greens Creek area. And if you're to read through the material, those didn't go so well. and those didn't sit too well with a lot of people. So this idea came up with the model boroughs. The model boroughs, if you read through what they were, the way that we were looking at them when we voted during the last vote was that the model boroughs represented what the ideal borough should be. That's not what they are. If you read through the entire body of information, what those are a framework, a structure for the local boundary commission and, at the time, the department DCRA, now DCCED, to actually have a structured way in which to discuss things and also to build a body of public comment. They were never meant to be the ideal boroughs. Let me see. I'll shuffle through my notes here. So once again, this is a different subject. If you read through the entire body of information, it's pretty clear that it's okay if a lot of undeveloped areas stay within the unorganized borough. There's 19 organized boroughs, one unorganized borough. There doesn't have to be only one organized borough, but right now there is, and there's pretty clear criteria when you read through, once again, the Constitution, the statutes, the regulations, and the policies and procedures, the model borough boundaries from the Boundary Commission. And I only copied about 22 pages of the 106 pages of the borough annexation and Alaska instructions from the local Boundary Commission. So when you read those, I'm going to wrap up here because I'm sure people want to get home. But when you read through the entire body, we're supposed to have a handshake with the areas that we're annexing. There's supposed to be something in it for them. There's supposed to be something in it for us. I don't think that we've articulated that there's anything in it for the areas that we're annexing. The things that we took as evidence that we should annex aren't evidence that we should annex. They're only tools that we should be using if we decide to. We have to articulate a reason. Before we even do a petition, there's supposed to be some sort of cost calculation. How much are we going to gain? How much are we going to lose? I asked for that last committee meeting. We still haven't seen it. So, that being said, I do move, and I ask for unanimous support, not just two-thirds, to amend the resolution previously adopted to remove areas B, C, and D from the annexation petition.
Ms. Vladishevsky.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just have a question about the motion and the procedure here because it is an unusual one you explained. So this, if a vote for this is a vote for this actual motion not to take up the issue again, is that correct? So if I vote, those are different paths, to talk about it again is one thing, to actually vote to take out B, C, and D is another. So is this to take out B, C, and D, not to talk about the whole issue again?
I'll let the attorney talk to this, but because we have discussed it. Madam Attorney?
I think that the result of passing the motion would be to remove B, C, and D.
Could you repeat that so I could hear you?
Sure. The result of passing the motion would be to remove B, C, and D from the annexation petition.
So that's like a permanent, that's not to bring it back for more discussion.
Correct.
Mr. Keel?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. A question for the attorney as well. Is this type of motion divisible?
Yes. I think it follows the same rules as a motion to amend. The difference is the number of votes it takes to pass it. So it is amendable, and it also is divisible.
Is amendable and divisible. And then, I mean, again, another procedural question. To amend the motion on the table, does that also require a supermajority or just a standard majority?
I absolutely have no idea. My best guess is that that would take just a normal majority, but to get to the final question will take a supermajority.
Thank you.
Ms. Weld.
Could Mr. Watt or Ms. Mead remind us what areas B, C, and D are?
Mr. Mayor, broadly, so area B would be Glass Peninsula, Seymour Canal. Area C, area south of the borough boundary, to the west of that and south of Greens Creek Mine. And area B would be, area D would be the Mansfield Peninsula. North Admiralty Island, north of Hawk Inlet.
Ms. Weldon.
Do you have the map that shows the monument?
I have a map of the Admiralty Island National Monument not in my hands. On my computer. I could show you a digital image, or if we paused, I could print it off, or I could verbally describe it. Ms. Glashevsky has a copy in her hand.
I can pass it down. Yeah, Mr. If anybody wants to see it. You got it. Okay.
Further questions?
Does this show the division in that back?
That's just area C. That's all that shows. I can find the other, I think.
Under B is in B, is
that
right?
You're asking the area
of the division.
D.
Under B is
that
D.
One that we know what he's talking about. This one's under B.
Hunter is here.
Hmm?
Hunter is here.
Okay.
Hunter, it's right here.
Oh, I thought it was still here. Okay, right, so D. Oh, it's A.
Further discussion. Mr. Edwardson.
There were a couple of things that I left out. One of them, once again, when you look through the whole body of documents that guide actions on these sorts of things, public involvement and basically public buy-in is a big thing. Before the last meeting, there was opposition to this. During the last meeting, the opposition grew. And to me, anyway, the opposition grew exponentially after the last meeting. So if it wasn't clear that there isn't much support for this, if that wasn't entirely clear before the last meeting, I think it's a lot clearer now. And, you know, there are times when governing bodies can and should deviate from what the wishes of the public are, when defending human rights or safety or something like that. If the public doesn't want to honor those types of things, the governing bodies have in the past, and they should again in the future, go against the public will. But this isn't one of those situations. This is something that the Boundary Commission does in their documents, the law does, the Constitution does, expect there to be public buy-in in order for us to do. And not just buy-in, but public participation in the planning process from the people in the areas being annexed. So I don't think we have those things, and that's just a little bit of amplifying information that I forgot to mention when I was first speaking.
Ms. Weldon.
One of the things I found in my research, the local boundary commission actually started in 1966 looking at stuff, but they didn't really form the boundaries we see now until 1989. But during that time, they did. The reason those lines were there is the lands and uses within those boundaries were more in common with the boroughs they were assigned to, so they weren't just arbitrarily dashed lines across something. And as we've said in the past, many of the uses of those particular areas we're looking at, they're from folks from Juneau going to use their cabins, or folks from the tour ships flying over there to go to Pack Creek and those kind of things. So I think that should be stated.
Mr. Edwardson.
I agree with most of what Ms. Walden was saying. There was efforts to determine, you know, some good boundaries before 1989. In 1989, the Local Boundary Commission started doing model boroughs in the areas for which they already had applications. And then from 1990 to 1992, they finished off the rest of the state, at least the rest of the state that they wanted to, in developing these model boroughs. But once again, when you read through the entire body of documents, the model boroughs weren't meant to be boundaries established to say, okay, we're going to just annex here and annex there. They're a framework for discussion, not actual physical boundaries.
Further discussion? Mr. Kale.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I guess I object to the entire motion, but not to all of its parts, which is why I asked the attorney if we could divide the question. I guess I'll make a couple comments, and then I'll ask that we do that, and we vote on each of these areas separately for removal. But I'd like just to speak very briefly to some of Mr. Edwardson's points. There really are a lot of considerations and a lot of points in the issues that the Local Boundary Commission needs to consider. Comparable resources, comparable economic activities, whether, in fact, you're adjusting an existing boundary line. We've heard, as a side note, and not particular to Mr. Edwardson's comments, we've heard a couple different times that you can't cross a boundary of water, and the vast majority of Alaska boroughs cross a body of water. Ketchikan Gateway Borough, Wrangell Borough, Petersburg Borough, Municipality of Anchorage, Kenai Peninsula Borough, Aleutians East Borough, almost all of them cross a body of water at some point. So that's not that statement is not correct. But again, I think there are some important reasons for the city and borough of Juneau to pursue annexing what we were calling Area C, an extension of the line on Admiralty a little ways south. And those reasons, to my mind, go directly to the constitutional language of avoiding multiple taxing jurisdictions. And there's an economic enterprise out there that I think needs to remain in a single taxing jurisdiction. That serves their interests. It serves our interests. and we talked about that a little bit, I think, in... I last talked about it in my written comments to the Committee of the Whole meeting that I wasn't able to attend. So I think that that particular piece is important as we take that multi-decadal look at what the boundaries should be and what we should set up for the future. Other areas that we voted on the other night, I'm okay with going back, but I would like to vote separately on each of the three areas to divide the question, because I don't think we should withdraw our petition for Area C. I think Area C really is worth pursuing for the city and borough of Juneau long-term future.
We need a motion of amendment.
Mr. Mayor, I'd move that we divide the question and vote on each area separately for removal.
A, B, C, and D?
Three votes.
B, C, and D.
Oh, yes, B, C, and D. Thank you. Those were...
Mr. Do I have any objection? Mr. Gregory.
Objection, just for the sake of a question. Is it possible to get a map up on the projector of these areas? I can't seem to find one in my email.
Here, I have this. You have it.
Mr. Gregory, do you need further information?
No.
Okay. Does anyone else?
I object for a question.
Pardon?
I object for purpose of a question.
Certainly.
Is there city land in Area C? Is there city-owned land in Area C?
City-owned land.
Mr. Manager?
So clarification, city and borough of Juneau land or?
City and borough of Juneau or private land. Is there taxable land in Area C?
I do not believe that there is not city and borough of Juneau land in Area C. I can say that with confidence. I do not know if they're looking at the map here. I believe there is taxable land in Area C. I believe there are some recreational properties in there. I believe there is land that is in the process of being traded. I think the Forest Service and Shiataka Corporation, I believe there's a little bit of land possibly in there as well. But other than that, I don't have full knowledge about ownership of Area C. Area C is also near our southern boundary, near the operations of the Greens Creek Mine. But today, I believe the Greens Creek Mine is entirely on city property, within the borough.
Yeah.
Is the question before us, though, B? Is that what you moved?
At present, Mr. Mayor, the question is whether to divide the question.
Okay.
I objected, and I withdraw my objection.
Okay. So there's no objection to dividing the question. Mr. Keel.
So when the body is ready, when discussion is done, we can take the three in whichever order you would like. And if I understand correctly, I'm going to look over at the attorney to make sure I understand correctly. With the question divided, each will be a motion to remove an area. That's how we should understand them. Is that correct?
That's how I understand Mr. Edwardson's motion, yes.
which would amend the original motion, correct?
To remove an area from the petition.
So that would require it to have two-thirds majority?
Each question would require a supermajority.
Okay. All right.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
You asked if there is any other discussion.
I haven't yet. Mr. Edwardson, you have other discussion?
Well, I mean, I've been talking, thank you, Mr. Mayor, I've been talking a lot, and other people have been talking, but they've been talking about the technical aspects of it. And a lot of comments that I was reading is people wanting assembly members voting for annexation to explain why they are voting for it. So I'll just make that observation and say that if they leave or stop listening to this same discussion and still don't have those answers, then we're probably going to keep on getting the same complaints.
All right. Further discussion.
Mr. Mayor, I understand we're doing this one at a time.
Yeah.
Which one are we doing first?
Well, we'll start with B.
B.
Thank you. Did the attorney say that it's just a majority for each one of them to remove?
Supermajority.
Okay, you did. I thought that's what it should be, but then I thought I didn't hear you right. Okay, thank you.
You said what, supermajority?
Six.
Yep. right. The motion before you is to remove section B. Are you going to put it on the screen?
We're attempting that.
Okay. Is there a discussion on section B? Ms. Podashevsky.
I think area B is the least connected to Juneau can be argued. I mean, I do believe, I mean, those are people that do tours out of Pack Creek for Pack Creek do come out of Juneau. I think there is a case to be made for B. I absolutely think that. I also think that the folks in Angoon make a point about Admiralty Island, and that is part of the national monument. So these questions, to speak to all of them, are difficult. There are not, in my view, it is not a clear slam dunk in any direction. They are shades of one side of the line or the other side of the line. So I could be persuaded that B could be on the outside of the line.
Okay. Mr. Nankervis.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would oppose the motion, and I would agree with Mr. Edwardson's comment that we need to speak a little bit further about this. I disagree with removing any of them, and I didn't speak to this enough at the first meeting that we had on this. I don't believe the LBC came up with these boundaries willy-nilly. I think it was done with a purpose behind. We've had discussions about addressing the annexation situation for, I'm going to say, at least 2 years when the issue came before us, because of the annexation request from Petersburg for the southern side of Tracy Arm. Petersburg put their application in first. We argued unsuccessfully that should be more appropriately incorporated into the Juneau Borough. And I think the lesson we learned from that was that being second to put in for it does not get you first place in the annexation request. At least that's a logical conclusion to draw from that. There's some belief that we are annexing Angoon. We are not annexing Angoon. This doesn't change subsistence or monument status with annexation. I don't have it before me right now, but I have asked law about the resolutions that were contained in the most recent Angoon resolution that was forwarded to us regarding annexation, and I could not find where any of those concerns would be affected by annexation. And most of them had to do with recreational use, subsistence use of the island. We heard comment tonight that annexation will affect the ferry service, and I'm not sure that it will. I don't think annexation will affect ferry service in any way. And the last thing that's going on, and it goes back to the first thing where I talked about Petersburg annexation request. It's my understanding that HUNA is currently working on annexation of areas. And back to my Petersburg comment, I think that there is a good chance HUNA would be looking at trying to annex areas of Northern Admiralty where we have put in. I think that would be area D on ours, but I don't know that for sure. I just know that they are currently working on their annexation for what I would assume would be called the HUNA borough. And if we're out in left field or we're out to lunch on this annexation request, the LBC will weigh in and tell us exactly that. So I am not going to support removing B, C, or D from the annexation petition. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Further discussion? Mr. Edwardson.
Well, I apologize if I gave the impression that the LBC made these boundaries willy-nilly. What I meant to say is that they actually made them to establish a framework for an organized discussion and use them as a tool in which to compare things when they're considering annexation petitions. I'm not saying it's willy-nilly. I'm not saying it's useful. I'm saying we are assigning the model boroughs a burden that they're not assigned to bear. They're not designed to bear. They're a framework for discussion. If we choose something outside, we have to have a good explanation of why. And I think they're a fantastic model, but that's all they are, is a model. As far as, you know, whether or not we're annexing Angoon, I think most people understand that we're not annexing Angoon. What many people are worried about in both Angoon and in Juneau is that we're not being good neighbors and not including them in the discussion. If you read through, once again, this document, the model borough boundaries, it goes into the fact that the reason that the model boroughs were created was to prevent incidents where we're trying to annex something before somebody else is, where we're trying to get our application and our petition in under the wire. So I apologize to the LBC, if anybody's listening from the LBC, if you thought I was saying that the model boroughs were willy-nilly, but I do think that we're misapplying them.
Ms. Weld.
So when I was talking to several people after our last vote, I was surprised at the number of people that thought we were annexing Angoon, and we are not annexing Angoon. And just being part of the city and borough does not mean we're taking ownership of the land. We're not taking management of the land. We're just including it in our borough. So, again, just looking at what services and where they're coming to and from, I still say it's Juneau. I would agree with Mrs. Gladyszewski. B, I think you could argue either way a little bit more, but I too have heard that Hoonas, together with Pelican, Gus Davis, Elfin Cove, and Tenneke, are looking at coming together to form a borough. And we just got bit by Petersburg. Not saying that that borough is going to bite us, but it may. And so I don't think we should take D and C out, but I'm still thinking on B.
Okay. Mr. Edwardson.
Yes, go.
The Hoona, Gustavus, Tenneke Springs, Elfin Cove, Pelican, a good part of Glacier Bay, and Icy Strait is part of the LBC's Glacier Bay model borough. So if they're trying to annex something and it's within those areas, then I don't know. I guess that's what they're supposed to do.
Ms. Flanagan.
I'll just comment that your comment that is that the model borough boundaries are a framework for discussion cuts both ways. So they could, and I agree with you that it's not a set in stone, as is evidenced by the fact that Petersburg, you know, was able to annex some land inside our model borough. So it's all under discussion. And so I do think that, in fact, if you look at the Haynesboro boundary, it comes right down, and you could just fill in that little square and if you're a Haynes, you could sort of argue that that's Haynes. You could argue that that the rest of it is the Glacier Bay borough. So that's why these things are would be before the LBC, because we are charged with making decisions in the best interest of the city and borough of Juneau. The LBC has a broader mandate, so that's why they could be the arbiter of just this very question. So I am, when I take a vote, I am considering what I believe is the best interest of the city and borough of Juneau, and the LBC's got a different task. Thank you.
Mr. Nankervis.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I was going to point out the same thing that Ms. Gladyszewski did as well, is that the purpose behind my vote in this is to do what I think is best for the city and borough of Juneau, and it was not to irritate our neighbors in Angoon. That wasn't it at all. I know for months I can't tell you exactly how many months, but I believe it was in excess of six months, we tried to have a meeting with Angoon and discussed our possible annexation petition, and that meeting never came to fruition. But we tried for a long time, and I know that a vote on this will irritate some people. From other places, it's not meant to do that. What I'm meaning to do is what I think is in the best interest of the city and borough of Juneau. Thank you.
Further discussion on the motion, which is B.
Which is what?
B. Hearing none, clerk, will you please read the motion?
To remove Area B from the annexation petition.
Right. Will you call the roll, please?
Okay. Mr. Keel?
Yes.
Mr. Nankervis?
No.
Ms. Weldon?
No.
Ms. Becker?
No.
Mr. Edwardson?
Yes.
Ms. Bladyshevsky?
Yes.
Mr. Gregory?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Mayor Kelch?
No.
Motion passes 5A, 4A.
Motion fails.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're right. Super majority. Sorry.
That's okay. Let's go to C. Discussion, please. Bladyshevsky.
I'll just, again, agree with Ms. McKeel's comments regarding avoiding multiple taxing jurisdictions. I think C is, we should keep C in our borough boundaries.
Further discussion. Okay. Seeing none, clerk will please state the motion.
This is to remove Area C from the annexation petition.
Okay, is there objection?
Objection to removing C, yes.
Okay, will the clerk please call the roll? Mm-hmm.
Mr. Nankervis?
No.
Ms. Weldon?
No.
Ms. Becker?
No.
Mr. Edwardson?
Yes.
Ms. Bladyshevsky?
No.
Mr. Gregory?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Mr. Keel?
No.
Mayor Kelch?
No.
Motion fails.
That brings us to D. Ms. Weldon.
Can we add an amendment to the amendment?
You can amend an amendment.
So I'll make a motion, like we tried in the Committee of the Whole. I believe the terms you used, Mr. Mayor, was Area D, except for the drainage going into Funter Bay, I think it was. So, Madam Attorney, what I'm trying to do is remove Funter Bay out of Area D.
For the purposes of the vote.
For the purposes of the vote.
Object.
Yeah.
Okay, we have a an amendment to the amendment and an objection. So we'll go with
the... Can I get a clarification on the motion of what area we're talking about?
D... D as in David.
D as in dog, except for the area of Funter Bay.
Watershed.
Correct. But I don't know how to word that in the motion because it's a weird motion.
Is this a technical question, Mr. Keel?
Clarification, please.
Clarification.
The multiple negatives are tripping me up.
Yes.
So let me ask Ms. Weldon. Is it your intention by this motion to leave Funter Bay in our annexation petition?
No. It would be to remove Funter Bay from our annexation petition. The rest of Area D be in the annexation petition, except for Funter Bay.
So
the amendment is to remove Funter Bay and its watershed.
From D.
Only.
From.
And then we would vote on D late, the rest right. of D if this passed.
Right. Ms. Becker.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Do we know what the boundaries are for Funter Bay and know that what's left? What is left of D after we, if we were to do that? Is there a line there somewhere? And that's a part of this, and that's it, right?
Mr. Manager?
I do not have a map of what that would be, so I understand the guidance from the Boundary Commission is to follow geographical features, and we've tried to do that in, for example, in areas C and B following the ridge lines. And I think the motion would, in my mind, be best described as the areas defined by drainage into Funter Bay. So I would pick the ridge line as the intent of the motion. I would caution that there are, I believe there are remote properties in Area D, not in Funter Bay. I don't have maps of that area. And then I believe there are also at least several remote recreation properties in Area C. We did hear testimony on the 22nd from at least one person with a recreational property in Wheeler Creek, which drains into Hawk Inlet.
Ms. Gladyszewski.
I would speak against this. I think we are carving out little bits. I think that these are not 100% slam dunk things. These are lines on one side slightly or another side of yes or no. I think that these lands do have a connection to Juneau. They're inside the model borough boundaries. Applying first seems to matter with the local boundary commission. And to be fair to other remote property owners in the borough, we have remote properties in Taku Inlet. We have remote properties on Shelter Island, and Taku Inlet properties, Taku River properties, are even farther away from downtown Juneau, you know, urban center than Funter Bay. So I think all of D should remain in our petition to the Boundary Commission.
Further discussion? Mr. Edwardson.
I guess I'll say again, I mean, a little while ago when I mentioned that nobody was really speaking in support, they were just asking technical questions. That was followed by people saying, here's what we're not doing, here's what we're not doing. But nobody saying, what are we doing? Whether or not Taku was annexed, whether or not Shelter was annexed, we're not talking about those right now. We're talking about whether we should annex these other areas. And I would feel a heck of a lot better about it, even if I was voting against it, if somebody told me what we were doing it for.
I'll just say I thought I was saying what we were doing it for. I think it, with equity to other property owners that are inside the borough, and, again, the connection to Juneau that those lands have, that is the reason for my vote for to keep these within our petition.
Madam Attorney, I have a question for you. This is an amendment to an amendment that is not replacing the other motion. Does the amendment to the amendment have to have a supermajority?
earlier I said no. However, this is getting complicated in that Ms. Weldon's, the result of Ms. Weldon's amendment would be to remove this from the petition, which is the subject of Mr. Edwards' motion. So I think it would require a supermajority since the result of this would be to remove that entirely from the petition. And just because this is in the negative and it's getting complicated, that does leave Mr. Edwardson's motion on the table for the rest of D.
Yeah.
So I believe yes.
All right. All right. Are you ready to vote? Do you wish further discussion?
I guess I just want to make sure I'm exactly clear on what we're voting on. Are we effectively, we're dividing Area D and voting separately on removal from the petition?
That is correct.
That's correct.
Okay. And so the question in front of us would be, do we... So this would be on the drainages, or the area that drains into Thunder Bay. And a yes vote removes it from our petition. Do I have this right?
That is my understanding.
Mm-hmm.
This one's a tougher one for me than Area B was. Because they're, I'll remember when the Lands Committee first took this up, and Al Shaw, who helped work on the model borough boundaries, testified and talked about just how close the economic, cultural, and social connections are of the Thunder Bay cabins in that area to City and Borough of Juneau. I was struck at our last assembly meeting by the fact that, with I think one exception, maybe two, all of the cabin owners began with their residences in Juneau. So the ties are closer here, I think, than they were in B. And I appreciate the arguments we've heard that, you pay a launch fee or the airport charge is rolled into your plane ticket. But the simple fact is that the city doesn't fund government services on a user fee basis. I do believe that eventually this area will be in a borough. I don't know, it'll be CBJ, Haines, Chatham, something else. So this is a tougher call for me. And I think that I will probably come down as a yes vote. Taking on faith from the folks from Thunder Bay who have cabins in Thunder Bay, who testified at our last meeting that they would support being part of a borough with Angoon. I guess I'm going to have to trust that that's really the case. And vote that way in support of our neighboring community. But it's a close one for me. It really is.
Further discussion? Mr. Edwardson.
I actually plan to vote for it, but that's because, obviously, I wanted to remove all of B, C, and D, and if all I can get is a segment of D, then I guess that'll have to do. I just think it's kind of ironic that that might be actually the smallest population of the people who don't want to be annexed.
Any other discussion?
Mr. Gregory.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I plan to vote yes on the amendment and no on the main amendment. And my reason remains the same as the last time we discussed this at the previous meeting, which is that I still don't feel that we have made our case to the people in that area, and that we should have had an opportunity or still have the opportunity to allow for more public comment from both our neighbors in Angoon as well as the people that live on these areas that we're looking to annex. And I still don't feel that we've made our case to them.
Okay.
Is there objection to the amendment? Okay. The amendment is to take out Funner Bay from Area D. Will the clerk please call the roll?
So just to clarify the effect, because we've gone around, just to make a no vote takes it out of the petition, does not?
A yes vote takes it out.
Of the petition.
Of the petition.
Okay.
Well, it takes it out of D.
Yeah, okay.
But we still have to go back and talk about D.
The rest of D.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
Just so that everyone understands, the only way this amendment makes any sense is if you consider it as dividing the question. So a yes vote takes it out of the petition, a no vote leaves it in, and then you have to vote on the rest of D.
Yeah.
Okay. One more time,
yeah.
Madam Attorney, so that everybody understands.
You've divided the question. So D is now divided into two sections. One is the area served by the Funner Bay watershed, and the other is the rest of D.
This vote is Hunter.
And this, okay.
Okay, Ms. Bolden?
Yes.
Ms. Becker?
No.
Mr. Edwardson?
Yes.
Ms. Gladyszewski?
No.
Mr. Gregory?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Mr. Keel?
Yes.
Mr. Nankervis?
No.
Mayor Kelch?
Yes.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Motion passes 6-3.
Now we are back to D, without Funner Bay. Is there a discussion? Just, I'm sorry, Ms. Weldon.
Again, remind us what the yes means or the no means.
A yes vote would be to remove Section D, the remainder of Section D, from the petition.
Is everybody clear? Mr. Keel.
The remainder of Section D includes Horse and Colt Islands, correct?
Correct.
Thank you.
So yes means that we will take them out. No means we will not take them out. Is there objection? Right?
Okay. Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Mr. Keel?
Yes.
Mr. Nankervis?
No.
Ms. Weldon?
No.
Ms. Becker?
No.
Mr. Edwardson?
Yes.
Ms. Gladyszewski?
No.
Mr. Gregory?
Yes.
Mayor Kelch?
No.
Motion failed. 4-5.
Now, do we have to go back to the main motion, or are we finished because we divided it?
You are finished.
Thank you. I'm afraid to ask you, Mr. Anderson, do you have anything else?
No, Mr. Mayor, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for your work on that. Let's take a
5-minute break, please.
You're tuned to KTOO Juno 104.3, and we've been listening to the CBJ Assembly meeting. They're currently on a 5-minute break. Tonight, rain, low around 35. Tomorrow, rain before noon, and then a slight chance of rain and snow showers in the afternoon, high near 39.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Give me just one moment here while I pull up my notes. So the Eagle Crest Board met on Thursday, February the 1st. The zip line at Eagle Crest is now under new ownership. The owners that own the zip line down at Sandy Beach now own the zip line up at Eagle Crest. Last Friday night, there was a night ski event where skiers were able to ski off the Porcupine Lift, compliments of the snow that we've been making up there. People have been skiing up there for a good portion of the winter, which I think really speaks to, why we should be making snow on the rest of the mountain. The issue of snowmaking drew great interest from board members and is a topic that we can probably expect to hear more about as many ski areas around the country are facing similar situations like we are here at Eagle Crest and the weather that we've experienced over the last 3 years. There's a good deal of interest from the board in increasing our abilities to create snow on the mountain, which would give community and ski pass holders certainty when they buy tickets or when they buy passes that they're going to have an ability to ski or ride. Something else that came up was that the Geno Ski Club had proposed an alternative training plan where the Geno Ski Club used motorized access to be able to get some runs in on the lower part of Sourdough and other portions of the mountain with the approval of the general manager and the ski patrol director based on snow conditions and safety and access. This is something that did not pass as many people felt that it would be unfair to other people that wouldn't be able to use the motorized access for that part of the mountain. And also I believe we have something in ordinance that prohibits that. But I think what my point of sharing this with you all tonight is that it really emphasizes the importance of people being able to get up there and ski. The Juneau Ski Club, I believe, is participating in an event up in Anchorage, and they were feeling that they weren't properly trained for the event, being that they've only been on Porcupine. They didn't have an opportunity this year to get on any of those longer runs. Moving on, I believe that there's significant value for our community to invest in snowmaking at Eagle Crest. The Parks and Recreation Advisory Committee met on Tuesday the 6th. On the agenda were two items. Item number one was a brief discussion about the 2017 annual report to the Human Resources Committee, which we can probably see, which we'll be seeing at most likely the next meeting. Item number two was a much longer discussion about the creation of having a dog-free trail in Juneau for those people that do not feel safe or comfortable being around dogs around the many other Juneau trails. Some people have had run-ins with dogs and they have anxiety when they come in contact with dogs. So just be prepared to hear something along those lines from the Parks and Recreation Committee. The Mining Committee met last Thursday, February the 8th. At this meeting, we reviewed a revised draft mining ordinance presented by City Attorney Mead. The committee agreed that we favored the revised ordinance. The committee also agreed that we would like to hear feedback from the community based on the revised ordinance and have requested written feedback as soon as possible. So if those of you that are listening have feedback you'd like to share with us, please send that in sooner rather than later. We have a hard deadline for written feedback where we'd like all comments returned to us by February 22nd. The reason for that deadline is to provide the Mining Committee adequate time to review the comments and how they pertain to the revised ordinance. The next Mining Committee is set for Thursday, March 1st, at which time the members of the community can provide verbal feedback to the committee. But again, we would prefer to have written feedback by the 22nd of February. The committee agreed to allow members of the public 3 minutes for their public comment. In talking with SEAC, they have requested 20 minutes of time to comment on their thoughts and feelings about the revised mining ordinance, being that we gave Mr. Clark approximately 30 minutes to pitch his case. Lastly, I would like to thank the Nordic Ski Club for grooming the Mendenhall Lake and the campground loop out at the Mendenhall Glacier Campground. I saw Mr. Watt out on his skis over the weekend burning some calories along with several hundred other smiling faces, people on fat-tired bikes, people on cross-country skis, skate skis, people on foot. Everybody had a pretty good time, and hopefully we get more people out there enjoying that beautiful area.
Thank you, Mr. Gregory. Ms. Weldon.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. For the Planning Commission, they have an ad hoc committee that's working on a template for the zoning for Auk Bay as part of the Auk Bay plan. They also were looking at an amendment in regards to setback reduction for exterior energy improvements for those people that want to add a little more insulation to their house. They're revising their rules of order. And their next meeting will actually be tomorrow with us at 6:30 with the Committee of the Whole, followed by the regular meeting at 8. The Aquatics Board is starting their public comment process with presentations around town at various groups. Their first one is at the Chamber of Commerce this Thursday at noon. And their next meeting is February 20th at 5:30. And I had the pleasure of going to the Alaska Fire Chiefs Association reception also. They got to see some old friends. Unfortunately, they're getting fewer and far between. Saturday, I was able to attend the Girl Scout fundraiser and got to see the lively auctioneering talents of our own Mr. Keel. He did a fine job. I went to the presentation for the new Jack at the City Museum, and there was a few of us there trying to stay separate at all times. And I'm stealing your thunder, Mr. Nankervis. JDHS Hockey won a game in state tournament for the first time this year, so that's a kudos to them. And unfortunately, their banquet was tonight, but I was here, but they did a good job. So that's all I have.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Human Resources Committee met this evening and has some recommendations for you. Appointment of art selection panel for the downtown banners. We recommend the committee of Dana Gunderson, John Fox, Donald Gregory, Rachel Juzler, and Nimi Phillips, Chip Varelli, and Christiane Carrillo for the downtown street banner art selection committee.
All right. Is there any objection?
Committee also heard from the Affordable Housing Commission, their annual report, and there were three members that have agreed to serve some more time on that commission. So the Human Resources Committee recommends the appointment of Wayne Coogan, Russ McDougall, and Tamara Rowcroft to terms ending January 31, 2021.
Are there any objections? Nominations are approved.
The Juneau Commission on Sustainability has a couple of open seats. The committee recommends one appointment, the appointment of Gretchen Kaiser to a term ending June 30th, 2021.
Is there any objection to the nomination? Nomination is approved.
Finally, the Youth Activities Board, their current ordinance of their members includes one member from the Juneau Sports Association. The Juneau Sports Association has not been able to fill that seat for some time, and it is causing the Youth Activities Board a problem with the quorum. So we talked about it at the Human Resources Committee, and the committee recommends that the Assembly adopt a resolution introduced at the next time, Serial 2820, to remove the member of the Juneau Sports Association as a listed member and just up the number of general public members. So this would be introduced at the next Assembly meeting. And that's all I have for that committee. I would say that the Bartlett board had a retreat last Saturday. I was unable to attend, but I hear it was a productive time. The Affordable Housing Commission met on February 6th. They talked about the Affordable Housing Commission report that they gave to the Human Resources Committee this evening. Their next meeting is March 6th. I too saw the city manager on the lake this weekend, along with the former city manager. They both looked super happy. One was happy he was not in a meeting, and one was really happy she hasn't been in a meeting in a while. And that's all I have.
Thank you, Ms. Bajeski. Mr. Jones, when you give your report, would you also give the presiding officer report?
I will. Thank you. The Public Works and Facilities Committee met January 29th. Mostly info, the one action item, we dealt with that on the consent agenda tonight. That was some transfers and closeouts. We talked about the Volkswagen settlement. I expect that the city will be prepared on March 1st to submit their ideas to the federal authorities on the next phase of the federal expenditures. Much of that will be based on the documents that were presented to the Public Works and Facilities Committee, as well as I think Michelle Elfers will be meeting with community groups and CBJ departments on that. We also had a discussion about analysis around electric buses and their viability in cold weather, and the electric charging infrastructure that might be needed as we increase the number of electric vehicles in Juneau. There's now roughly well over 200 here in Juneau at this time. We also got our first look at the FY19 CIP. It was just introduced us to take a look, and it'll be on our next agenda, and our next meeting is February 26th. The Juneau School District has not met since our last committee. They are meeting tomorrow night. They're meeting at 4:30 in executive session to do a mid-year evaluation of the superintendent. Their regular meeting will start at 6 o'clock. I will not be there because we have the meeting with the Planning Commission starting at 6:30. The Downtown Business Association met on February 6th. They got an update on downtown housing with Scott Chiambor, mostly about the process of looking at what might be available downtown and how to get an inventory of what is available or what could be available, and also to find a way to get the owner's interest in either making that space available, if it is, or what might incentivize them. There was also a discussion between about the DBA partnering with Rotary related to some downtown parks. There was a long discussion on the Chicken Yard Park in particular. I made an inquiry with Parks and Rec and Engineering as to what the plans are and were there funds available. Parks and Rec responded that they're not going to do anything until their master plan is done and they're still in the process. I did find out that there was about $70,000 appropriated in a CIP years ago, but that, and at one point in time, they looked at trying to move that to Capitol Park, but that ran into neighbors' objections, and that was abandoned, but nobody's done anything with the $70,000. So that may be an issue that I'll follow up on. Presiding officer's report. Never had this happen before in many of the appeals that I've been presiding officer. We had the attorneys for the assessor office file a motion to dismiss the appeal because the assessor has granted the complete educational exemption requested by the Seventh-day Adventists. Assuming that this was an agreed upon, I signed the order. The next day, the attorneys for the Seventh-day Adventists filed an opposition to the motion to dismiss. The grounds were that, yes, this is good for this year, but the assembly has not heard the whole issue and has not settled what they consider to be a fact of law yet for next year. Basically, I gave the CBJ assessor's attorneys till Friday of this week to file a reply. My attorney is in Mexico. Everybody else at CBJ is either conflicted out or involved on the other side. So I'm still trying to figure out what I have the ability to do. So on, we're still keeping March 5th open. We may hear the original appeal. We may hear to determine if, in fact, the motion to dismiss can be opposed. I'm not sure yet. So that's why the confusion between sort of what got out, what got pulled back, what's in the packet tonight.
Mr. Nankervis, do you have a question?
I do for Mr. Jones on this topic. So it sounds to me like they are trying to appeal a decision that hasn't been made yet.
That's a possibility if they're talking about next year.
Yes.
But what they're saying now is that even though the assessor office is granted this year and there was a motion to dismiss, it did not settle the law. Us okay. Agreeing with them that the interpretation of the assessor was in error in the first place. Okay. And I'm in that position where I don't know if I have the power to do any of that or whether I have to bring that back to the assembly. And that's why I gave the assessor's attorneys a week to make their case, and then Jane and I will sit down and talk about it in the next week, and then I'm not sure what will come back before us on March 5th. I've never had this happen before.
Thank you. Thank you.
Normally when a person offers to settle, the other side says, oh, yeah, but that didn't happen. I'm on new territory here, and I can't quite figure it out. Comments and questions. Just a comment. Phase two of the downtown streets improvement is going to begin shortly. The first meeting with the downtown businesses that will be affected and is at 9 a.m. tomorrow in the Senate building on the third floor. If anybody out there is listening that's affected by that, it'll be Front Street, the corner of Franklin in front and on there. If anybody's affected, they should attend. I really appreciated the work, whoever, on stopping or delaying the use of the mental health trust land for parking. I really did appreciate that. That said, based on the comments and Facebook questions I've been asked on the street, the fact that I couldn't find the planning parking study that was done with state money on the Willoughby District online. I searched. I could find the downtown parking, but I couldn't find the Willoughby parking. And the fact that the new Jack is working on fundraising and having pretty aggressive plans for demolition and rebuilding, I think it's time that we revisited parking. I know the manager has tried various ways. I think I threatened his evaluation around parking, and that's been a year, and I don't see any discernible action. Summer's coming, Egan Drive construction is coming, and we need to know what or what may not be planned, because we could have considerable disruption in downtown. I don't know whether that's a committee of the whole, a public works, some kind of special meeting, a written report. I'm putting that on the table as something that I think we need to be ready to deal with. And then speaking of that, the manager sent out some information to me and a couple other assembly members, maybe everybody, on DOT's Egan to Main to 10th update, and if he could maybe repeat that for others who may not be aware or who might be online, exactly what DOT's plans are for this summer's work on Egan between 10th and Main.
So for those listening, DOT's latest schedule, they intend to advertise for bids no later than May 15th, awarding a construction contract that the completion date would not be until the summer, late summer of 2019, and they expect that most of the impacts this summer and fall will be at night. And will be lesser in nature than the construction impacts that we get next year.
Okay. Mr. Jones?
Just final. I ran into a lot of you at various other functions, the Girl Scouts and others. I did not run into any of you out at the lake. I was going to stay warm and at home and not break any bones. So you probably won't find me out on the lake. I'm too old and brittle for that these days, but I hope everybody else enjoyed it. And I am serious about we need some work or update on parking, please. I don't know when, but thank you.
Okay. Mr. Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Finance Committee last met Wednesday the 7th. We determined that to redirect the roughly $162,000 that the school district was required by the state to return to the city into their pre-K program, which is outside the formula. We got an update on a past appropriation of the General Parks Foundation, requested some additional information on that. And then
staff had brought forward an inadvertent glitch in our funding of Gavel to Gavel, Alaska. And so the Finance Committee directed that full funding be made available through reductions in the Assembly's budget this fiscal year, and that full funding be included in future fiscal years because of its importance to all Alaskans' access to the capital city. We got our first look at the manager's marine passenger fee recommendations. Public comment, I believe, is still open on those. And so anybody interested in seeing what's recommended or commenting on the wisdom or need for changes there should check that out at the city's website. And we directed staff to proceed as part of a statewide effort to try and get some fairness in getting the, what do they call them, transportation network companies or rideshare companies to do the same sort of sales tax compliance that everybody else does and try and broker an agreement that gets to an equal footing there. There are some outstanding issues with that. The Alaska Municipal League has its winter conference coming up the 21st and 22nd. One of our U.S. senators will address the conference. A number of legislators will be there, and we'll have the opportunity to talk about some of the legislative issues and administrative issues facing municipalities. I know the Commissioner of Administration is going to speak to the conference. Also be a reception at the Governor's House, so I encourage all of you to participate in as much of that as you can get to during the days and then the evening. The University of Alaska Southeast Campus Council met, a week ago Monday, had significant discussion about their career and technical education programs, some of the ongoing challenges they face and successes that they have. Enrollment is up and credits per student are up, so I think Juneau residents and Southeast Alaska residents are responding to their offerings. They also have just started a new career tech program called Fixed Plant Maintenance and Mechanic, which should be very useful to a number of the large employers and large facilities here in town to get some of the deal with some of the graying of the workforce there doing fixed plant stuff. We also talked about the university's budget and what's looming with the legislature there. And the provost reported that she is spending just about all of her time doing job interviews. She is down to three finalists to recommend to the chancellor for the Alaska College of Education, down to a few finalists for a new dean for the College of Arts and Sciences, and also the Sitka campus needs a new career tech director, and they're down to their final interviews there. As far as comments and questions, just a couple of comments. The League of Women Voters has just wrapped up a remarkable thing they do here in Juneau. They get every eighth grade student to visit the state capitol. They get not just a tour of the building, but the chance to sit down with their legislators, to meet with folks from the third floor, the governor and or lieutenant governor's office. They do mock testimony on one of the bills before the legislature. This year they selected the bill changing the minimum age for marriage in the state of Alaska, which some eighth graders were more interested in looking at than others. It's a great program, and the league does that all as volunteers in conjunction with the school, so my applause to them. It's really remarkable. I didn't get to the lake, Mr. Jones, either, but I was thrilled to see you, Ms. Weldon, and others at the Girl Scouts auction, and I would just note that however laughable, I assume that's what you meant by entertaining, I was, there was a lot of skill and gravitas by my co-auctioneer, the mayor's predecessor, former Mayor Sally Smith, who helped out with that. So once you're in public life, there's really no escape. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Gill. Ms. Becker.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We had Lands Committee today. Our We had an hour and a half meeting because we were going to listen to the proposals for the corner house proposals. We had five proposals. They each made a presentation. We asked questions and took all but five of the minutes. It was a very lengthy but good discussion. We heard from Alaska Legacy, which is elder care, and Margaret's House, which is a reentry program, Garing Nursery School, pre-K child care, Polaris House, mental health care, and Trauma House, pre-K, elder care, and homeless youth. That's a major job, I would think. Anyway, it was good. We're going to meet on the 26th, and our goal is to get to, there's only five applicants, so we'll get two or three to send to the assembly, I think is our goal. And that will be at 4:30 on the 26th. The chamber had their retreat on January 26th. The mayor and I presented, mostly the mayor did the heavy lifting on that one. And Travel Juno had a retreat on the 15th of this month. Alaska Committee is meeting tomorrow. And that's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Becker. Mr. Nankervis.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Committee of the Whole met on February 5th, and we discussed the proposed purchase of Avista Hydro One. We moved to intervene and instruct staff to pursue talks with AELMP and Avista regarding concerns that we wanted addressed, and the manager spoke about that earlier this evening. On February 1st, we met with the school board and then the Docks and Harbors Board. Then on January 29th, we had an update from Recycle Works. We talked about the renewable energy strategy, which was on our agenda tonight. Meanderway Riverbank Stabilization. We also talked about indemnification for Alaska DOT permits and essential public facilities. Several more, which were on our agenda, and I would like to just say thank you for everybody's indulgence, tolerance, and patience with all the Committee of the Wholes we've had scheduled lately. And I hear tonight another agenda item for Committee of the Whole was put forward, and I will try and work that in if I can, Mr. Jones. Our next Committee of the Whole meeting is tomorrow night with the Planning Commission, 6:30 here in the chambers. And that is all I have for the Committee of the Whole, which was plenty. One, two, three, four of them in 2 weeks. That's a lot. So on February 6th, I was also at the City Museum for the Jack presentation. Ms. Weldon stole my thunder on that one. She also talked about JDHS winning. And what I would like to say, I don't think she hit it up this hard. I had a child in the program on the high school team, and you currently have one. And I think they have had a high school hockey team for 12 years. I think this is the 12th year of the program. This is the first time they've cracked that glass ceiling that they had there, and I think it's great, and it portends great things to come. On February 3rd, I went to the Seafood Festival, seafood provided by Taku Fisheries. I thought it was a great fundraising event. Held by KTOO, lots of people down there in line, and what it reminded me of was the Haynes Beer Fest, when people would stand in line with a beer and drink it while they were getting another beer. That was going on at the Seafood Festival. People were in line eating and then never went to the table to sit down. They just went from one line to the other and kept forking it in, and lots of good food there and lots of good people. On January 27th, I went to the Canvas fundraising dinner and silent auction that was held at the Canvas. There was some great food. There were some great auction items, and I didn't win a single one of them, but hopefully I boosted the proceeds by bidding on as many as I did, because I bid on a lot and saw nothing coming home with me except the plates, and the plates were great this year. And what else did we talk about? I'm sure folks hit most of my stuff in here. Southeast Conference, the next 2 days. I'm not sure how many of us are going, but there will be a number of us the next 2 days. We will be over at A&B with those. And we have a 5:30 legislative reception and then a 6:30 start time on the Committee of the Whole tomorrow. For those of you that are going, we're going to be rushing it. Also, I wanted to say that if state statute allows, you can expect me to bring forward a proposal during budget time
regarding lowering the mill rates for properties in the area of the borough that you could call remote or what I will say not accessible via roads. And if that is possible via state statute, expect me to bring that forward during budget time. And that's all I have, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Thank all of you. We now have continuation of public participation on non-agenda items, so anything that has not been discussed tonight, if there's someone that wishes to speak to that, is there anyone signed up? All right, seeing none, Mr. Correct. Could you, pardon? Certainly. You need to come up to the mic, please, Matthew.
In a personal discussion with other assembly members, it was to my understanding that there would be some openness on reestablishing communication with Angoon, the new administration, being that the what was said earlier is a past administration that was clearly a non-involvement case scenario. I can recommend some places to stay if you guys do plan on to. It has modern amenities and a really beautiful place to go. as far as being neighborly, meeting halfway as far as no slam deck scenario for anybody, openness to open a resolution to clear sales tax for Angoon residents, or even bringing it halfway, being though that it is the only permanent community that had a voice in the opposition to your annexation of Admiralty Island. That was my further discussion that I wanted to add.
Thank you. Mr. Greger?
I've got a question. Excuse me. Can you please repeat your comment about the sales tax?
As far as meeting halfway with community members that had such passionate discussion with you guys as their opposition to your annexation of Admiralty land would be to meet in halfway as reduced sales tax for Angoon community members as they do come here on a weekly basis for shopping and recreational use also. So a reduced sales tax or a complete do away with sales tax for community members of Angoon. Like during my recreational visits to Washington, all I have to do is show my state ID and I don't have to pay taxes. So those are some incentives that can be brought to the table for that everyone to be satisfied in a certain way.
Oh, thank you for the clarification.
Yes.
Thank you. So that brings us to executive session. Mr. Dan Kirvis.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move we recess into executive session to discuss a matter the knowledge of which might have an adverse effect on the CBJ's finances. Specifically, that matter is CBJ's open litigation.
Okay.
Yeah, they
got to
get out. So we
have.
Is there any objection?
Yes, public.
I did. Did not see any.
Jumping up.
All right. Check. Thank you. You want to take a 5-minute break?
Yes, please.